brother's alive. I know he is. You should get some rest.
I'll take this.
Can I talk to you? What the fuck was that?
Javi is... Look, giving him false hope is just going to make things worse.
There's no such thing as false hope. There's just hope.
Did you read that in a fucking fortune cookie?
What do you want from me, Nat? I just said what I felt.
I want you to say less, Lottie, a lot. Fucking less.
Welcome back, Yellow Jackies. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Hands in, hands in. Buzz, what? No? Nobody?
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
I'm having trouble hearing you. I only have one ear.
Oh, wow. This is the crew from the You Don't Know Jackie podcast, back with our Yellow Jackets podcast. Basically, the first Yellow Jackets podcast, and now that they have 2 million viewers for this premiere of the second season, there's about, I don't know, so many Yellow Jackets podcasts, but we were here on the scene early to cover Yellow Jackets, and now it's season 2, episode 1. Friends, Romans, countrymen, like Corey said, lend me your ears. I guess Corey lost his ear.
It's a little hard, yes.
He doesn't have good peripheral vision. Now he lost an ear. It's not doing too well.
I mean, this show is... I had the honor again of watching the pilot, the premiere of season 2 with Jackie Rachel, and this show is really dark. And I'm not saying content-wise. I'm just saying, you know, it's pitch blackout like half the time.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some scenes where, yeah, if you're in bad lighting where, like, you know, the screen's backlit, it won't be good. But yeah, so to introduce us more, I'm Jackie Andy. I'm joined with Jackie Rachel and Corey. That's who you've just been hearing from. A little recap where we left off. I'm sure you guys are all big fans of Yellow Jackets, but Jackie's dead, Adam's dead, Natalie got kidnapped. Thaisa won the Senate race after that little altar, I guess, she made. She thinks she did also. Javi's missing. Still haven't found Javi. And because I know on the preview when they come back, they do show how Jessica Rabbit got drugged and, like, you know, passed out in the car. So you think she's definitely dead or?
Oh, yeah.
Jessica? Yeah, I would.
Yeah, big time.
But I wonder if it'll be the doornail. Investigated or what's gonna, like, they're showing that, as you know, a lot of times when you show stuff then you address it.
Well, I mean, I think they also may have showed that
it's just a recap that... we haven't seen the show in like a year.
Yeah, I know, but every time I'm just saying, I don't know, something in that storyline will probably come up. That's well, all
but I mean, I also think it's mostly was done for people who may have forgotten on how deadly Misty can be if you cross her,
and right.
So it actually meant more when she goes and threatens the motel clerk.
Mm-hmm. Larry.
Larry. You know, so I mean, by you remembering that, I think it gives more.
Okay. I'm just saying, especially when they say, like, last week on, they bring up old stuff, it's because something's going to happen on it. But I don't know. Yeah, so... we'll see. They may just want you to remember. Some people think maybe Misty's the Parsippany poisoner. You seen this?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. Yeah, I mean, it's the Parsippany
poisoner. Is she? Well, no, because there is on the message board of her Citizen Detective, there's a thing for the Parsippany poisoner and whatever. And like, a lot of people think Misty is a legit serial killer. Like, this basement is set up just to hold people, you know. I don't know.
It's the same network with Dexter. That's all I can say. One of us
so
is looking
she could
for
be?
Crossover. Others are looking for a different type, but we'll get into that, I guess, a little bit later.
Well, did you guys find it, like, ironic at all about the whole, I made Kool-Aid?
Wait, what do you mean ironic?
Well, what? You know, an occult.
Okay.
You would expect her to then, right?
Well, just that they're playing on it.
Yeah, well, it was Hawaii 5-0 punch. But yeah, it could be like Kool-Aid, I guess. I liked how she was going to send the whole kit home, like, as if, like, I made this special punch and I'm going to send you, I could send you a bowl and a ladle and then you'd feel like you would be having the punch with it. Like, how ridiculous is that?
Well, we're talking about Misty, so it's everything is slightly slightly off. I do find it funny that, and we'll get to this, of course, later on in the episode, but we finally, there's more girls have now all of a sudden, there's a crystal and
yeah,
you know, people who
yeah,
might have in the background all of season one, all of a sudden they've appeared. I don't know if they turn the lights on in the studio when they, you know, do all this stuff, it wouldn't be as dark. We'll see them maybe earlier. I don't know, but I mean.
Well, we saw a bunch of them. I don't know that any of them looked like the people we now see with speaking roles. Right. But obviously this is just people now that are expendable, right? Or could cause other problems. First, we start, all right, it's winter. Winter's fallen. They've already, it's 2 months now since we left the teens in the cabin, right? And you see everybody. We see that Van and Ty are sleeping with, like, tied together. Lottie is in, like, full shaman mode. She has, like, tea. She's putting blood in it, having people drink it. You know, she's got everything going. I don't know. So Nat and Travis are part of the search and exploration team trying to find food. Javi just mapping out where they are. Would you drink the blood tea?
Yeah, probably.
I don't want to upset anybody. Do you think that Travis seems to be like just going along with it or believing it?
No, like, I feel like it's fairly obvious from him being like, like this shit. And then Natalie's like, just do it.
Oh, you took it as that's what happened?
I'm a little different on that one. I actually think that with the idea that it's been 2 months and he has no idea where his brother is. I think Travis is trying to hold on to anything that would keep to any sort of either norms or just hope on the idea of that his brother's still alive. And the idea that this could be with Lottie, you know, apparently being the more of like the leader now, he's like, oh, you know, trying to figure out, she might know more than we do. So she has an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, I can't gauge how he actually feels. What we know is last season how the adult Natalie says that he never believed any of it.
Right.
To me, it seems iffy, maybe not. Maybe he's telling her on the walks. Like, I was wondering if they went out. She clearly doesn't. She clearly says it's not like this, like, Wicca BS is doing anything good. And then he says thank you to Lottie. Like, he's like, either he's just, oh, let's just placate her, or he's kind of like, yeah, we keep coming back alive, but you also haven't found Javi. I don't know. But yeah, maybe he's, I mean, yeah, his brother's missing, his dad's dead.
Hey, you know, as I always say, as long as Jeff is okay, I'm okay. So I think it's really interesting on how they're setting up now with three timelines. You know, with when they come back in the forest, when they first come back 19 months later, and then basically 25 years later. So I think we're going to find a lot more about Travis in the coming, you know, coming episodes. And as long as, I know the show's been picked up for a third season as well. So I think it's going to be interesting on the more we learn about how what Travis did or didn't believe. And, you know, we'll get more, I guess, more into it as the episode goes along about, you know, present day when it comes to Lottie. And what their relationship might have been, you know, how Travis, you know, dealt with things.
Travis and Lottie's relationship in adulthood. You think we'll learn?
I think, like, you know, we see at the end. Like, I don't want to go all the way to the end, you know, already. But we see at the end where either Lottie is trying to trick, excuse me,
Natalie.
Tries to trick Natalie to, you know, make sure she doesn't get her head caved in, as one would say.
I do think Lottie is at all times protecting them, whether it's, you know, I mean, valid or not, or whether Natalie believes it or not, you know? Like, right, she's not doing it with any malicious intent right now.
Right, but it would seem like, I'm not saying he was part of this cult or whatever this
right.
is, but it seems like, you know, there might be a connection to, you know, the money that went missing with Travis, you know, with his basically his savings, and Lottie, where he might have been in order to deal with certain things after him and Natalie apparently broke up.
Right.
You know, there to help. I mean,
yeah.
I think that a lot of interesting things are going to happen with this, you know, with the casting of an adult Lottie and how all this is might, you know, play into the three different timelines.
Yeah, I'm wondering how, I do wonder the timeline of when Natalie and Travis broke up. And yeah, how he was dealing with it or not and everything like that. But we also get to see that they do a flashback, but like forward from the wilderness of them being rescued in 1998. And they're talking about how they were found like 600 miles off the flight path. Obviously, we know in season one, they did say like we have to go around some storm cell or whatever. But I guess they didn't tell that to anybody. I know there's a lot of suspicions about Lottie's dad since he had boarded the plane. You know, we see that when they do come home, Lottie not dealing with it great. Her parents not dealing with her in the best way. She gets like electroshock therapy.
Yeah, they still did that in the 90s.
Yeah.
Wait, what'd you say, Corey?
I said, yeah.
You know from experience?
Whatever it takes to get through the day, I can. You talk about your version, I'll talk about mine. No, I thought that was a really good scene, though. I mean, you just see the idea of her parents just want, not even just want her to be safe, they just want her not to be like a burden to them. You know, it almost feels like, you know, it's, you, we saw like from the very beginning of this show where when Lottie leaves, she's got, you know, two pills to deal with her mental issues, and you know how things have got, you know, we'll know so much worse at, you know, during these 19 months. And I guess the only way to get her back to the way they hoped, or basically to sedate her, is through this electric shock therapy.
Lottie seems to be almost okay with what happened and thinks that it did heal her. She tells the roommate that, oh, they'll heal you like they healed me, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And then she becomes this kind of I don't know what you would call it, but she has a whole following in then adulthood that we see, which I have to think is probably pretty lucrative. Like, she looks like she's making a good living. I don't know why Travis's bank account had to get emptied out, but I guess we'll find out about that.
Weird theory. I'll bring it up now just so I don't forget, because it's popped in my head. Do you think that the site of her retreat or whatever, you know, her society is actually like where they crashed?
It, you know, the lake was a similar size and stuff. But I don't know. It was weird because in the preview for the season, I know they bring up that she was in like Sweden at some point, but obviously now she's not. Now she must be somewhere driving distance in, you know, to the New Jersey area.
Is it though? Because, you know, we don't know how long into the future after Natalie's kidnapped, how many days later. I mean, we would think it's like maybe a day or two later, but we don't know, you know, how she got to where she was and how far away it is. And, you know, if it's literally, you know,
I don't know if where she was in adulthood when we saw her by that lake, I don't know that that's the same place that she is now where Natalie was being held. Like, they might now be moved. Oh, now, you know, she might travel around and to different retreats and stuff like that, potentially. I don't know. I mean, I guess there could have been a lake there. It was very wooded. I like, yeah, she had like chickens when she runs out. But yeah, we are going ahead to the end. We'll probably talk about the storylines here with the adult people separately. I think, you know, just to go through what happens with them, I guess maybe Natalie, I kind of have last there because that sort of ends the episode. I did know the credits. We have some new images in the credits. I don't know. I can't make any predictions from that. Oh, Corey, what's this face? This face you don't like? You scared?
Not scared, but it is creepy AF, as some people might say. I mean, I know what this show is. You know, we know that it's been said but not said that we're going to be, you know, people are going to get started eating other people. And we saw it, you know, the first part of that at the end of the episode. But the imagery and everything is, I mean, I think that the way that this stuff is handled, and you want, I give full credit to the video department for at a Showtime where it's top notch, where they still have that like 80s feel for the credits, but it is just done in such a spooky and creepy way that it does keep you a little bit at the edge of your seat. And, you know, in there, we saw a first look of adult
Dan.
Adult Dan. We saw I don't think she's actually in the episode, but I know she, you know, she's credited for the, you know, for the first episode. But I think that's going to be one of those things to be really interesting. The seeing these adult versions of Lottie and Van, and, you know, almost comparing them as we sometimes do to the younger version, how much we think they're the same or how much it worked out. I mean, like some of the stuff about, like, I had a chance to listen to an interview with the producers of the show. And apparently, like, season one, Van was supposed to die.
And they read that.
They enjoyed the performance of the actor who was portraying Van.
Yeah. I mean, the same for Laura Lee, because Laura Lee wasn't supposed to make it past episode one. I'm thinking, like, Van could have died in the wolf attack or some other. There's obviously was tons of the fire in the first, you know, beginning when the plane crashes. I mean, there was a number of times that she cheats death, Van. And, you know, so that is one of those interesting things. It's like the Jesse and Breaking Bad scenario, right?
One of the crazy things that you find out, and you're like, how could a show like Breaking Bad be as good as it ever turned out if Jesse did die at the end of season one? So, I mean,
right.
Really,
sometimes characters take on a life of their own.
Absolutely, yeah.
Ooh, that's like spooky. That's like Lottie talk. We're not controlling them.
They're autonomous.
So beside a little bit of a creepy opening, then I think we get a pretty funny scene where it looks like Shauna's being interrogated, but it's really by Misty. How long did you think, like, it was a real interrogation or not? Like, what were you buying it at all or no?
I wasn't. I mean, I didn't know it was Misty in the other room, but
right. I thought she was dreaming. I thought she was imagining it.
Right. That's kind of.
I thought it was going to be Jeff.
Yeah, that would have been awkward if he was asking that. Violet, Misty, they're all supposed to be there meeting up, but Nat and Ty didn't come. They're like an hour late or something. And Misty's not really too impressed that Shauna's giving great answers. I like, you know, she's like, okay, well, you got rid of everything. I think we're missing something. I mean, Misty's being very helpful in this, though, because she's really on the ground floor looking through her citizen detective things and, you know, everything. She's trying to be very proactive. And I do think it was true that every one of Shauna's answers, like, no, you hesitated when you said that. Now that was too fast. It's like, yeah, I don't believe it. You're right.
I do love the idea that, and I'm sure you'll bring it up here in a second, but the cake, I thought that was just a great little touch. What did it say? I want my lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you understand PSD and everything else that these
PSD.
What did I say? You know what I mean.
PTSD.
Thank you.
Okay.
That all of these young women went through being 19 months in the wilderness, and, you know, all things they do. But it's, they were able to survive, and you understand, like, the adrenaline and everything. But how, at some points, they don't feel like they're truly equipped for, you know, for real life. They could survive the wilderness, but they can't survive the idea of what you would or should or should not say, you know, if they take you in to be interrogated. You know, it's just like, it's a very interesting dynamic on what they went through in order, primal instincts, but then other times, you know, you see how maybe they were actually stunted.
Right. Yeah. I think you can see that in real life with people sometimes. Sometimes people can do something so well and then something else not. And I think, and like, we'll keep with Misty. You know, like I said, she's on that citizen detective message board and reading these comments. It gets brought up by a user who I think is Elijah Wood, right? Because you then hear him. And I think it was putting the sick in forensics was the username, the handle or whatever you want to say. that suggesting a mystery lady friend because of credit card statements. I didn't see that. Did we? Because it's like lingerie, this fancy dinner, you know, I mean,
you also got.
Well, I actually asked Corey, remember? I was like, he bought her lingerie and he's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Where is it? Maybe it's still to be uncovered.
I mean, I think a lot of the times with, I've never been a big person when it comes to Reddit or these Substacks or different.
I thought you were going to say it's a lingerie. Okay.
Oh, I got a whole collection just that's in the other closet. But the idea that everything that they say on these like Reddits and Substacks is, you know, may not all, some of it might be their own interpretation and building on the limited facts that they have. And sometimes they'll add things to create a succinct story, you know? So, I mean.
Oh, you think the character, like you think in the show, they just added that?
I mean, how could, you know, Elijah Wood's, you know, character know all of this? I mean, I think the also thing that's interesting is like, how long were.
Definitely not mail fraud. Wink. Stop.
Like, how long was Adam and Shauna even having this relationship? It was only like a week, right? I mean, a week or like.
I don't know.
I mean, that's like one of the things. I think that's one of the things that, you know, the producers of the show, I think, actually did well.
Well, they definitely did do mini golf.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess that's a good big date item, like that one you pick, not like, oh, he could have been taking like some like little nieces and nephews or something. Like, oh, I see mini golf on here. But no, I mean, listen, he's coming up with a theory and it's right. But obviously Misty downvotes it. Oh, no. So I'm wondering how they get, you know, they get together, because obviously she's going to try to persuade him away from Shauna, right?
I do wonder if he's going to turn into might possibly like be somewhat of like a love interest for.
Oh, I her, hope. For Misty.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long Crystal's going to last as a love interest, you know, but we'll see about that in the future, but you know, or the past as we might be. But just going back for a second, I thought it was something that they did really well with the scene from 1998. Where you don't see all of the girls who came back. So they left the mystery open of who is or who is not going to make it in the future. You know, so I mean, I do like the way that they.
Yeah. Well, even now, even with last season, now that this season they've cast Adult Lottie, Adult Van, now you know they come back.
Right.
But even first season, we didn't know that.
And I also think it's interesting, like if you look at like the IMDb credits, certain characters next to their name say Teen Mara.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're saying, I know this is just like an.
This is, I know this gets too much when I don't like it. I don't want any spoilers because I did.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you know,
when people were doing that and saying, well, the people that say when it says this, maybe they won't get an adult version or, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? I mean, like, is that what you're saying? Because I did
like,
read.
There's a teen, like in the credits now, there's a teen Jen, a teen Melissa, and a teen Mari, but they're like for Crystal, it just says Crystal, doesn't say teen Crystal. So the idea of that, you know, she.
Well, I really don't see. I mean, this is the thing though. Say Crystal could have be great, and then they would say, let's keep her. We were going to kill her, but let's keep her. Right?
Yes. Just like Van. Yeah.
So I guess you can't put too much stake into that. You know. Misty continues on in the episode though, just to go over her trajectory here, that, you know, she becomes her own little citizen detective because she wants to find out what happened to Natalie since they're not showing up. And then she tries to talk to the hotel manager, Larry, threatens him with his like social security number, all of this. He's not too bothered until the fact that she's going to sit in there all day and like just be a presence in the waiting area, because you know his point is that's what the hotel or motel offers, discretion.
Sure.
So, I mean, I respect that. That's their selling point, you know.
I personally have never been in that type of a motel as far as I can recall for that type of situation, so I mean I can't fully judge on the discretion of a of Larry, but I thought the guy who played Larry, I thought for the limited time he had on screen, I thought, you know, he really delivered. And I thought that was one of the better scenes of the episode, to be honest.
Well, he just says that she left cash and left in the middle of the night. That's it. Which now we know he was just lying to her because, well, we already knew that. But like, she goes to the hotel room. What, this was a big highlight for me. She's sitting in there. Like, of course, why did I think we were friends? Like, and then she's like, don't cry, babies cry. Like,
oh, God, that's funny.
I loved it.
First thing that popped in my head was, I know it's a remake of another song, but Fergie's Big Girls Don't Cry.
Uh-huh, sure.
It's like, that would have just been perfect if I think the original version was from like the 90s, I think, or that time frame. So it would have been like a perfect little needle drop for the episode. But
since sitting there, sees that no, the door's been like painted over and fit, like someone broke in. So now she's happy. Natalie didn't leave me. We are friends. I need to find her.
Yeah. Speaking of Misty, just going to, I think it is interesting. It's 2 months later, back in our original timeline, and the girls are still will not let her cook, and they have her. I mean, I know it's from the beginning of this whole entire show. Misty is, because she's awkward, is the one that they basically make fun of and they treat like an outsider. And of course, knowing all the stuff that she's done and will do, you kind of understand maybe they do have a little validity to their meanness towards her, but it is interesting that 2 months after the fact, and they're all just basically trying to survive, and they still are very mistrusting of Misty.
Yeah, well, maybe we're learning that this team is very clicky, because the other people that we're now being introduced to, Crystal's gang and the like, don't seem to be too fond of the other girls. Like, oh, they're talking about their jock boyfriends and, you know, all this. So then they have the people against Misty, which, you know, so they also, like, something to note, they like recast Akilah. Did you realize?
New actress name is Nia Sundaya.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, if you got like drugged with mushrooms, wouldn't you be a little hesitant of letting?
So that how long? Near two, the fire? 2 months. 2 months. You'd still be like, you can't touch the food. You drew the four.
I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily subject that person to go get the water all the time in the cold, but yeah, I would say, like, new rule, you're not allowed near the pot.
But, okay, she was really only going to drug the coach. Not that that's great either.
Let's be honest, that coach, I don't think he has much longer left. If they're going to start eating people, he's got one
left. I'm surprised that he, like, made it this far.
Not succumb to his injuries. He owes Misty his life at this point.
Yeah, I mean, still one of the, I love the fact that they did the replay in showing from earlier, the idea when he screams out, I'm gay, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not into you. It's like, you're sitting there going, where is all, like, he does have like one scene, Coach has like one minor scene in the episode with Natalie later on, when Natalie is drawing up the what she has from the map. But when you said earlier, I might be wrong, and I may have to rewatch it, but I don't know if Travis knows that they're doing this I think the right word is topography of the wilderness, because it seems like this is something that Coach and Natalie are doing on their own. So, I mean, it seems like he thinks they're going out to search for food and maybe try to find his brother.
Yeah.
But when she's going out there, she's going out there to go.
Well, she's looking for food too. She said no sign of game. No, you know. Yeah.
But I do think that's interesting, the idea that they might be hiding this from the rest of the group. The, you know, them basically making a map of the whole entire area.
Mm, yeah. Do you think she could be drawing this all and like Javi not see a Javi, Travis not see it?
I'm not sure. I mean, like, but like I said, I just felt it was. And I guess maybe I'm like reading into all these conspiracy ideas of what could or could not be happening. but it seems like this is something because of the fact that Natalie and Coach had this, you know, basically a little bit of a relate come to Jesus moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, when everyone was getting drugged, that they kind of formed a closeness and that they trust each other almost more than anyone they trust anyone else.
Oh yeah, no, they're definitely close. I agree. Well, all right. Adult Taiso in this the storyline here. We see her after obviously now she's won the Senate race. You're shaking your head. She's getting a new puppy. Just like let's just clear. Let's just no problems. One puppy missing. We'll just replace the puppy. What do you? Oh, we know Jackie Rachel's not a big fan of this, right? Replacing pets.
Well. I mean, that dog was honestly a little bit annoying. I was like, if she killed Biscuit, she's definitely killing Steve. I mean.
I literally, when I was watching with Jackie Rachel, and when that second dog appeared, I just saw, I could be absolutely wrong, but I could have swore I saw her in like Rachel's eyes. If anything happens to this dog.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. I did. I was like, great. Now she's another sacrifice.
I mean, I didn't take the initiative to do it, but I would not be surprised if there's like a hashtag save Steve, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That dog, I mean, we're hoping, but if that dog doesn't make it through the whole entire season,
well,
it's got to call PETA on this show.
It's like the whole time. So she's like on this trajectory. She seems like real annoyed, doesn't have time for it. Yeah, that one, Steve, give him to me. Doesn't even like come up with a new name for him. Like, I don't know how old he is. Maybe you just want to keep the name or whatever.
Well, Sammy said, oh, a puppy.
Well, he's a kid. What does he know?
Oh, serious. All children are stupid. Well, because no, I was like,
that I looks have
like
no an clue. I don't
older dog, but
you can call any dog a puppy.
No, it just the whole vibe was really like making me uneasy. I guess you know we find out she had it. No, like she doesn't like she wasn't conscious or whatever yet of like of decapitating Biscuit, but like especially with her wife and everything, it just was giving me such an uneasy feeling with the dog. I was like, can we just leave animals out of this season?
That's not gonna happen.
She's also like, she didn't seem like the greatest person to be like having this dog. Like, I'll fill out the paperwork for you. Cause she was like, her demeanor, the first like half of when you see her,
right?
Like, yeah, bad vibes. Her eyes have that like red glow to them, I feel. She even like, you know, just everything until she then sees Sammy, then it's all of a sudden like a new person. Like, oh, Sammy, this is Steve. Yeah. Okay. Oh, crossed wire situation. I don't know why you're just listen to your mom. We'll figure this out. Like, and Sammy seemed like more like a normal kid than he ever did in the first season.
I think we're going to get into one of those situations. I didn't watch much of the show Lost, but I think we might have to start recasting some of these kids because he looked a lot. Was it Sammy is supposed to be, what, like 8 or 9? He looks like he's aged like three or four years in a year. I mean, he's going to like get a growth spurt. And if this is like supposed to be like 2 weeks later, mm-hmm. we might have to replace Sammy in on this show.
Wow. Just kick him out a new puppy, right? Just push him in.
It made me feel a little bit better when she like turned to look at the dog and said, it's just you and me, like, or something like that. And I was like, okay, so is she going to like take care of it then?
Oh, now she's in love. Okay. So first of all, let's not forget. Also, I do think it's funny how she has to talk. She's talking to like her campaign manager. They're already talking about, we got to get funds for re-election. I didn't even take office yet. Oh, you got to get to the teachers union. We can't even give them half of what we promised. Like, okay. Classic. What do we think about Simone threatening Ty to go to the press if she doesn't step down and go and get help? Like, are we more worried about Steve or Simone?
That's a good question. Simone. I don't think Simone's long for the world. I think that she could get sacrificed any moment because, you know, Ty wants what Ty wants, and I just I think there's a reason why there's an adult Van in this world. I mean, I think that we're something's going to happen, and there's going to be, that's why we have Van's back. And, you know, the only person she could truly trust and truly love is Van. So.
Well, I don't know if it's that the only person she could truly love or trust. Yeah. It's that Van like has been like in the trenches with her. She was the person where, I mean, I know like it is maybe a little bit less severe than decapitating your family dog, but when, you know, she's going out and eating dirt, like in the middle of the night, sleepwalking, Van is like, no, I don't care. Like I'm going to be like sleeping up here in the attic with you to make sure you're okay. Even, you know, when, I don't know, like she was like, she like bit her or something in the night. Right. And like where Simone's like, oh, go get help. I mean, yeah, obviously she's scared for her child, and it's a little bit different when your teenager is like stranded in the wilderness. But Van, if anybody's going to understand, I feel like it's going to be Van.
Yeah, Simone should take some notes from Van. Van's like, I'm not scared of you. This is just something happening to you. Just this attitude has to go. This, I think, is something that just can be understood in the wilderness, maybe. Not in in real life. It's like, no, you are doing it. But she does know, like, she is saying, okay, you need help. Maybe understanding a little that it's not, like, her intention. But that's kind of hard to reconcile, though. Killing the dog and, like, making this altar. And, like, you're saying you didn't even know it. Like, there's a problem. So I do sympathize. And, but Thais is like clueless. Like, what is she talking about? This is ridiculous. Okay. Goes home, kind of reminiscent over like smelling the shirt. Oh, all right. Get over it. Okay. Now, wait, was there something about this basement? Did she say something about the basement? Oh yeah. I see this thing is open here. Let me look. Oh, oops. I guess I made a boo-boo. And then Steve just comes wandering in and she's like, I made a mistake. This won't happen again. She like kisses him. I'd be like, what the? You're like, hello, there's a dog head in front of me.
Justice for Biscuit. That's all I have to say. That's sad, sad world. I do think it's going to be interesting. I wonder, I mean, I just said like wild, ridiculous thing what I said, but I do wonder how Van is going to, adult Van is going to play into this story. Like, you wonder why they were the only ones who were at the, the core four were at the reunion. We know that Lottie's, you know, in her own world. Like, I think that's going to be one of the things that's going to be super interesting over the next couple of years of this show on what made Van and Ty, you know, go apart. Mm-hmm. Like, how, like, I mean, age-wise, you would think it would be, the adult Van is in modern day, but we don't like for sure know if like adult Van is from like a fourth part of the timeline or how, you know, like,
no,
what causes her to come back, you know?
I don't think it's a different part of the timeline.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's
like, yeah, it's like with, I don't, because I see her with Thaisa, but I don't think it's okay. Like a flashback. All right, well, let's see. Let's see what other things happening in the wilderness, and then we'll wrap up on Shauna and Natalie and adults timeline. So teen Shauna's just chilling with Jackie, I guess we'll call it, right?
She's a force apparently.
What, like, how long is this? I mean, I get that it's there's, you know, a frozen element, but I don't know. I guess. I mean, hey, you know, we covered Bad Sisters and they had frozen bodies, right? So I guess
everybody should go back and check those episodes out on our couple of our different feeds. But yeah, I mean, that was just, you're sitting, I was just sitting there going, all right, wait. How is she still alive? Like, for like the first second.
No, come on.
I'm like, wait, okay, in this world, maybe it's not, but it almost felt implausible, the idea that the other girls would be okay with her sitting with talking to a dead body, a frozen dead body for 2 months. I mean, that can't be great for a pregnancy, you know, you're hanging out with a dead body for, you know. 2 months. I mean, like I said, I thought one of the funniest things was, you know, and I guess we should have all realized based on the title of the episode, you know, like you said in the beginning, mm-hmm. with the ear, like that didn't, like when that happened, I believe, I don't know if I went to Rachel or Rachel said to me, wait, what just fell off or what exactly, you know, when the ear falls off, at first I didn't realize it was an ear. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, so I mean, the writers, just, I mean, I know I'm kissing the ass of the writers who, you know, don't may not know that we even exist, but I just think that the way that they've handled this, even from season one, the Jackie Shauna relationship in the past and in the future, I think he's just done so well. And I do think that we learned something big in this episode. The idea of, I think one of the things that we spoke about a lot was the whole entire thing about the was it the mask or whatever game that they played where.
Somebody stop me.
Mash?
The Mash game, thank you. I'm thinking of it.
The Monster Mash, yeah.
But the idea, the fact that, you know, some of the stuff in there, I think like they referenced the movie Titanic and a couple of other things that hadn't happened yet. And we saw in the episode that she's writing stuff into the journal, Shauna. So, I mean, that makes more sense.
Well, right. No, right. But I don't know how long after. You still wouldn't know about things that hadn't happened once you were in the wilderness. But right. Like if she's just been forever doing that, like when did she stop talking to Jackie basically? And I like how they mentioned it as like, oh yeah, it's just like full Norman Bates mode. It's true. Like, I mean, obviously in season one, we saw Jackie when she was going to jump off the bridge with Adam Jackie was there. So, you know, maybe she fades a little bit, but she's still present in Shauna's life. I wonder if we'll get any more of teen Jackie talking to adult Shauna this season, or if she'll just be talking to the teen Shauna, you know?
Why does she eat the ear? There's not even fat on the ear. It's not going to sustain her. Freaks me out.
It's not about sustain. It's like now Jackie's a part of her. She's gaining. I mean, now there's all these theories, not theories, but I guess that song at the end, the Cornflake Girl thing, it's from Tori Amos and the album. It was about sort of sometimes like I don't know, women using other women to like not just like some of these friendships not being real. So it's kind of, that's like an interesting take if you look that up. So it is sort of like, okay, she's just like absorbing, like just, you know, like instead of like being of service to someone, she's like, you're absorbing them, need using them. And also like, I guess the Cornflake Girl and the difference of like the Raisin Girl and Cornflake Girl is like, everyone's like sort of against the grain, things like that. Big conversations though, they're having about rehashing how Shauna and Jeff got together. I mean, I think it's funny because I guess Shauna has to know all this because she's not really talking to Jackie. That, you know, oh no, well, you know, she's like what she told herself. She told herself, oh, Jackie was mean to Jeff and said she didn't want to be with him. And then it's like, no. Jackie's like, no, I didn't want to. He said he didn't know if he wanted to be with someone who wouldn't have sex with him. It's like a big difference, right? And it's like, you knew that. Like,
yeah, I mean, she's trying to go and make all of her, Shauna is trying to self-actualize to make her not be the bad guy. And so I wonder how long they'll actually have, at least in the wilderness version of the timeline, how long they'll actually just have this, you know, this body just sitting there. I mean, I think she'll be there as, what do you say?
Right. Yeah.
I do think
how
it's
long?
They are running out of food, so I mean,
maybe just pieces will start breaking off. Maybe she's gonna start breaking off more pieces, like a piñata or something.
How long do you think it's before Shauna starts sharing Jackie with the group?
That's okay. So a lot of that. So let's talk about this. Do you think that's possible? Because everyone said, okay, we saw Shauna went out there to get the meat. She's the one in control of the meat, the rations. Will she feed them Jackie? Is it frozen? Well, it, I guess it, yeah, like it's dead. It's dead. Like,
it's not really though, because she's always been like, she froze to death. She's never been thawed. You can keep meat in a freezer for a long time.
Okay, so you're with it.
Well, I mean, I'm just like, I agree that they're probably going to start eating Jackie. And I think that, well, I don't say anything too far in one direction, but I, you know, like all this cannibalist stuff, it might be that they just are eating people that are already dead. They might never actually kill one of the girls, like, and sacrifice them. Oh, I don't
what
know.
About Pick Girl, though?
I don't know, if maybe there's some other kind of explanation, you know?
I mean, if this show, I mean, I think we discussed this last year, but the idea is that this is supposed to be a 5-year arc for this show. And you got it. I would think that in the next 5 seasons of this show, they're most likely going to have to meet other people. And I do think the Pit Girl thing could be a little bit of a red herring, where it doesn't have to be. I mean, maybe it won't be as satisfying, but I don't think it has to be one of our core group that we've like already met. You know, I mean, it would be a little bit of a cheat by not doing that. But I mean, I know people are starting to look like Mara, I think, has like black hair.
And, well, I mean, obviously they said Mari. I mean, I've always thought that that's who it kind of seems like. But they said they used somebody else. They tried to mix their clothes, blah, blah, blah. So it could even be like they didn't even have it decided, or, you know. But that's who, I mean, as far as from the people we met, that's who it looks like. But they obviously added new people in this season that we hadn't even met. And also someone we know there's not an adult version or yet of. Well, yeah, I don't know. I also just think it's like, that's seemed like such a deep hole and like a big, yeah. I mean, I guess after a lot of time, maybe, you know, you come up with this.
So right now, I guess, what are we, like 3 months, maybe like 3 months into their stay into the wilderness?
No, I mean, that was already I don't know. How long were they there? Now I can't remember from season one, but I think they were there for a little while. Let's see, because they had, I think they were still in school. I mean, I feel like it was the whole summer, because then it was like, oh, it's going to be homecoming. That's why they did the doom coming, right?
Right, you're right.
So,
they may have been,
yeah, we had this figured out at some point, but.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe they've been there for almost like 5 months. It's going to be interesting. Do they also like slow down each season? Like if it's going to go 5 seasons, do you? How long does it take them to get to like the 19 months of time in the wilderness?
Yeah, we can go back and forth to what's happening. But right now, obviously, they fast forwarded 2 months. Maybe they'll show us like what happens within this like little window. And then, you know, the next time they'll go ahead, whatever amount. I mean, or they could go back to being rescued right after being. Obviously, they showed us, you know, pieces of that.
So what'd you think, because I think we kind of went over it very fast when we were talking about Misty, but what did you think of that scene with Misty and Crystal?
That's what I have next. Well, first I have also just more about Van and Ty, because Ty realizes, hey, you have this rope around you, and kind of like, hey, this isn't worth it if it's hurting you. But it's like, no, we've been able to sleep through the night because of this. So it seems like one of these, like all these tricks they're using, like the blood tea and stuff like that.
And the I love you. I mean,
yeah,
interesting way for that to first happen. Yeah,
you didn't what?
That was a very interesting way to have the first time that they say I love you.
Well, I guess she was trying to like, because obviously Thaisa was feeling bad that she attacked Van like Dracula style on her, whatever. So she was like, no, like I'm here for you. I'm with you. I'm not scared of you. Writes that, yeah, they have the nice moment of saying I love you together. But yeah, Misty is being ostracized, like we kind of talked about, that you know, you can't touch the food, whatever, you have to get the water. And she's getting the water and Crystal's singing. I guess they're bringing up, like, I wonder too if this is kind of how adult Misty is into the musical theater kind of stuff, that maybe this is where it stems from a little bit. I guess she's singing the like Glory of Love, but like Beaches style, which obviously we already know, like the Beaches reference from You're So Jealous of Me, You Can Hardly Breathe, or whatever it was, right?
You're So Vain, yeah.
You probably think this song is about you. Now you're giving a different thing. But yeah, as soon as Crystal's like going, I mean, I think it's funny too, because Crystal's like, oh, it helps me go to the bathroom, which is exactly what Misty said to Coach, right?
Yeah.
Trying to like sing Breakfast at Tiffany's for him to go to the bathroom. And Crystal goes, oh yeah, no, anyone, we can do it. I can, you just need a vocal coach, blah, blah, blah. We could harmonize. I was like, oh no, 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 that is, do not give Misty like an idea that now you guys are, okay. She's going to take that 100.
Do you like the idea of the two? I mean, I know we just met Crystal, but do you like the idea of the two of them together? Or,
well, Misty should have a friend. Misty, I think it's good if Misty, you know, I think it could develop the story in an interesting way if Misty has a friend.
What do you think, Rachel? Did you like the Crystal Misty scene? Or,
well, I mean, do I need to remind you about my feelings on musicals?
I knew it. I knew she was going to say this.
How do you think I feel about them introducing this element into the show?
They weren't
like
a musical. It wasn't. They were. They're not breaking.
Yeah, but now there's
going to
be two of them.
They're going to
be harmonizing. It's.
So now you can't harmonize?
I think harmonize means something.
No, it's moving in the wrong direction, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline. We're moving in the wrong direction here, yeah. It's only one direction this can go. I really think that I agree. I don't think she's very long for the show. I think she might be the first girl that gets Ian. I do think the actress who played her, I thought, did a nice job, you know, and... Mm-hmm.
I will say it is a little jarring and it does seem out of place. Like when just having to like abruptly add them in, I understand they were always there, but without speaking roles and stuff like that. And it's not even the people I so much recognize as like, there's people I like number 15, like there's certain people like I more like recognize and I'd be like, yeah, I remember that person in the background all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. They stood out basically. But I, you know, so I think that's why sometimes people have a little bit of a problem with like, what are these people? They weren't even there. Da, da, da. How did they get there? You know,
I do think it's going to be, it might be an interesting take that the reason why some of these characters that we fully met in this episode weren't at the reunion is maybe, and you might be able to talk more about this because you did play soccer at one point. They may have been like, you know, either juniors or. They weren't, you know, part of that class.
Yeah, but why then was Allie there? Because she was a freshman when they were seniors. So I don't know why she took over this whole committee.
Well, I also think it's Allie. She wants to be the center of attention, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. No, okay, yeah, maybe they... I don't think they make it back.
Neither do I, but...
I think that's why they're not at the reunion. Moving over to adult Shauna, she... I guess basically from what we talked about earlier, after Misty kind of brings up, hey, you got rid of Adam's stuff, right? And your journals. Well, she clearly hasn't. So she's going looking in her safe now and looking through Adam's things that she has, license, all this stuff. I was like, because at one point, didn't she say she put the cell phone in there? I'm like, I really hope you don't have a cell phone still. It didn't seem like it, but I think they just, you know, however, when they got rid of the bot, I don't know. But she calls up Jeff and, man, just what a great attitude he has. He thinks, listen, some bad stuff happened. We're over it. We're past it now. And he's having a good day at work. Chicken nugget department. I'm selling 6 pieces like it's my job. Not a care in the world. And then Sean is like, hey, I think I remember he had an art studio. Okay. And, you know, well, because it was near that the hotel, right? So we could probably find it. Whatever. They go to check this out. They find it. They see that the same coexist sticker that was on his bumper. Yeah, Jeff's still sort of in good spirits walking in. Hey, what do you do? How do you get an art major off your porch? Pay for the pizza. Ha ha ha. Right? Got some jokes there.
The guy Warren Cole.
And I guess they were right to go to this art studio because there's a whole Shauna wing.
Yeah, that's like, I was saying to Corey, like, they better not freaking go in there. Like, she better not get any bright ideas. And then, well, it was soon revealed why it was best that they did go in there. Because I was like, if they don't find anything, it's just, you know, what do you call that? Like forensic evidence. But But they obviously don't care about forensic evidence.
Lots of evidence.
DNA.
Lots of it. Well, can we talk about this? Because
the relationship disgusts me.
It's disgusting?
Like, it's like their dynamic is disturbing.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Jeff can do no wrong. I don't know what you're trying to say. Jeff is a saint.
So, okay. What do you, first of all, a little obsessive, the amount of, I mean, I guess people there's a lot of pictures so far.
Especially on how long they were supposedly together.
Right, like we don't know.
Well, did she actually post? Because I know Jeff asked that, like, or did he just do it from, like, memory?
Jack, I want you to draw me like one of your French girls.
No, I think he did it from memory.
Wow.
Maybe he had one
like,
that
you posed for him? And I think she's like, no.
Like, he had one on his wallet, right? And then he just kind of maybe it was like, oh, let me do this on this little receipt or whatever. And then took that and went with it. You're my muse. I mean,
my muse, yeah. Do we think, you know, we get a return of Kevin as maybe the person who's going to be the person, you know, who's got to go and figure out what's going on with this case? Or do you think we saw it?
I'm surprised, one, that the police already didn't go to the art studio or no, like, anybody else didn't come. I was, like, getting worried, like, yeah, you're going to this, and, like, what if other people walk in, like, as you're trying to, like, destroy evidence or whatever, you know, you think you can do or not? Like, I mean, that's a lot of evidence, and then they just added evidence to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you really going to be able to hide the fact that you had a relationship? Maybe? I mean, I guess you have to try. So, yeah, Jeff seems upset seeing all these pictures. Shauna decides to turn this into a sexy time. And, yeah, I think I'm interested what you take from it. Because after, I don't really feel like Jeff's too thrilled about it.
No, he's like, I think part of him knows that there's more going on. And he was okay with supporting his wife from what she initially told him. But I think the more that he finds out, the more of that inner rage and, you know, not understanding of what he's got himself into is going to, you know, come in. Because, you know, when he leaves and he's in the truck and he's listening to the music and he's basically raging out for a moment, you're like,
people were talking about like Gen X rage, like at least I picture Corey's. Papa Roach playing. But I just mean right after, like when he's like buckling up and he's like, don't. It's like, what do you mean? What happened? Like, what was she gonna say? Because I think multiple things could be happening. She could be like, oh hey, let me try to like smooth this over with him by giving him my body. And then also like, this is kind of hot. Look at this guy. Adam wrote all these pictures of me. He wasn't blackmailing us. He loved me and made all these pictures of me. That's hot. Like, and getting off on that.
That's hot.
I don't know. I mean, I think, like I said, I think a lot of this is just Shauna does not know how to actually deal outside of the wilderness. You know, I mean, everything that she does of being, you know, the supposed like perfect housewife and all this stuff is all just a mask of the trauma that she suffered and how she deals with either scary or uncomfortable situations. This, like, some could say it's some form of passion, but, you know, I think it's more of like a lust and her inner rage coming out with having, you know, this, you know, basically having sex, not even looking at your partner and everything, you know, it's like, it's...
you can't, in that position, you don't, like...
I'm not, but I think it was done in that way.
Yeah, that adds to the fact that she's looking at herself. She's looking at the images that Adam painted of her.
Right, but it's also demeaning. It was, you know, some people could say when those sexual positions are sometimes thought of as being demeaning towards, you know, demeaning. So, I mean,
I do.
I think.
No, maybe. Yeah. Well, because, but in a way she almost like, she, I feel like was in control of the whole thing too. So I don't know. yeah, it's interesting because you could see it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just, there's fingerprints, hair, potentially fluids. Like, I mean, this was just, I don't know. It seems like I understand where they were coming from, but it definitely probably adds some layer there.
Of the trauma and everything, yeah.
And then, you know, they're like, okay, well, what are we going to do with all this stuff? Can't really get it out of here, especially like big paintings on canvas. They get some turpentine. First, they just scrub it. Like, her face is gone. I'm like, oh, you think they like keep doing it, or just like, oh, there's a faceless woman. That's not suspicious at all.
We're just going to have a naked body, but no face. It'd be great. Yeah.
Either he was mad, why did he scrub off the face, or what? I mean, I guess they just got rid of it. I don't know. It doesn't seem too good. I mean, hopefully the paper, anything they could fold up, hopefully they took out of there. It seems like it would have been a long process to do. Then they go home and grill Frankenbeans, basically put the grill on so that they can burn the journals, his license, all this kind of stuff. Lots of lighter fluid on there, a little bit too extra gets added, tree goes on fire, and then they have a nice awkward dinner with Callie, and like Jeff's trying to like, oh, I did so well with my pizza art student joke, let me try to think of one with the hot dog and the bun, and Sean is like going along with it, oh, like his identity is linked, and Callie's like, what is happening? Because obviously we want to talk about Callie and Shauna had a whole interaction.
Who's there a better chance that their significant or parental other doesn't make it out of the season? Callie gets killed by Shauna in a rage, or Simone gets taken out by Ty?
Callie just seems so much like Jackie, even now with the boyfriend. So obviously we have to talk about this big moment that when Shauna comes home, Callie and Kyle are sitting on the couch watching What the Challenge. And this was clearly done because they're fans of the challenge, especially being that this is like an older challenge clip. It was like from like 2010-ish or whatever, Challenge Cutthroat season. I mean, classic scene from the challenge, which is why they basically chose it, that they requested specifically that clip. It's famously, I showed it to Jackie Brandon, producer Jackie Brandon's actually seen that clip. Corey, I see you're so interested. What are you going to say?
What is the significance of that clip? Is there anything that particularly happened that might be something that's playing, besides just the producers of the show being into the challenge, is there like any significance to what happened in that scene that might equate to, you know, meaning something, maybe the past that was shown in the episode or anything like that?
I'm sure you could probably come up with a whole thesis on all of this. I mean, I was going crazy when I saw it and just thinking of all these connections and funny things about it. And then, you know, I did read that they requested it. Just
Corey, yeah, didn't even realize it was the challenge. And I had to point it out to him.
And I've never been more proud of myself of not knowing something was a challenge.
Wait. Sorry, repeat that. You said you didn't know it was the challenge. I already texted.
Corey did not know it. Yeah. So obviously, well, not obviously, but I was on the lookout for, you know, how they incorporated it. Pretty obvious to me what was happening on the screen. And Corey was like, oh, what challenge? I was like, come on.
I try to be a good friend and humor the talk about the challenge, but I've never actually paid attention to anything that Jackie End was saying when she mentioned the challenge. So I was hoping for the best, and you know.
Yeah, but you like know what it looks like, right?
I know now. I've never
seen
Rules or Real World or any of that stuff. So I mean, that's not my genre.
Whatever. Well, and I clearly think like personally, they obviously had to have added that, you know, later, because Callie and Kyle were watching that. You're not just sitting there like watching it. I mean, obviously I feel like they would have seen it. It's just a funny thing for them to be watching in general, because I don't know, it must have been streaming it, because all MTV plays is Ridiculousness, right? So I don't know. I think
poor there are Kyle. Some...
But don't you get like how Callie was acting to him was like kind of with Jeff and Jackie.
Yes. And I actually like not to get too personal, but I, when I had my first serious boyfriend in high school, I remember my mom calling me out because she was like, said that she was starting to recognize like patterns that she thinks I had learned from like my parents' relationship. And I was like, oh, like Callie, don't take it out on Kyle. He doesn't deserve it. Like, it's not his fault.
Well, I mean, if Shauna ate a majority of Jackie, maybe she got some of Jackie's traits that went down into Callie. Just saying.
I also think it's funny that Callie is like, first she's like, oh, Matt, like, you know, your boyfriend's like, she's upset because obviously she sees the news report. Their boyfriend's missing. He was here. What the heck is happening? And then like, she's like, well, I told Dad, he knows, so, like, whatever. He knows. How could you do that to him? What? Wouldn't you?
You just threatened to tell him that if I didn't do what you wanted, you were going to tell him that about the relationship. So it's just like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Natalie, kidnapped. She wakes up tied to the bed. This is a woman bringing her food and, you know, said like, oh, I'm not supposed to talk to you. All this, like, okay, undo one hand so I can eat. We see the necklace that she has with the symbol. And basically when she comes back to get the plate and lock her up, Natalie has like got her other hand out, has a fork and stabs her with the fork, begins getting run out. I don't know if I brought it before. I like how there was like little chicken she runs into, and then some men see her, start chasing her. She hides behind a tree to dodge them and finally comes across Lottie's cult, like in mid ceremony. They got the drums, they got a naked guy starting to get buried, right? And
so are they gonna kill him?
I don't think so. No,
I think this is one of those, because it seems like
he signed up for that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he signed up for that. Yeah, it seems like this whole entire Lottie as an adult, she has this whole entire retreat of like a guru to help people deal with like their problems. And I guess maybe one of the ways of dealing with death is to actually, you know,
face it. Yeah. I feel like also there's, well, I mean, yeah, because I know she's saying like, also when she's talking about how like nothing was real or you're the only one who can help yourself type of thing, which is, that's like a good message. But it's all also very like in tone with the earth, right? Because that's how she was, like in the wilderness, right? So it's this whole like going back to the earth type of thing. There's all animal masks with them. So it's very primal.
I do have a question, and I don't know if you guys thought about this as well, but it looked like the actress who was taking care of Natalie, bringing her food, it was right. She looked like she was around like her early 20s. Do you think there's any chance that maybe she's
the baby?
So,
yeah, people are like, I think that's Lottie and Travis's baby. I think it's the baby. I don't know. I mean, I guess age-wise, it makes more sense than others.
Wait, who are you guys talking about?
Fork girl.
Oh, well, she just could be a follower. Why does she have to be anybody?
Well, because everyone wants to, you know.
Well, a lot of times, if you have a speaking role, you know, usually it means something. And like in these, you know, like in season one, those girls that we didn't even know existed on the, you know, on the team barely. And so that's why we didn't care about them. Now they're starting to talk in season two. You know, they've got speaking roles. I don't think you just random, maybe I'm totally off base, but if it would seem weird to just randomly give this girl, you know, an actual scene with one of your stars of the show.
So who should have, but someone had to be there. So who would it be?
Well, you know, I feel like maybe they didn't want to make anybody too important because, like, we wouldn't really care if she dies. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, Nat, get her. But, like, you can't be, like, so invested.
Well, she's okay. She just needs to wrap up her hand. Like, I think she
should. Well, I was thinking, I thought at first she took an eye out. So I was like, yep, get her. But she didn't. Yeah. Like, but I didn't care. Like,
saute that. That's like a s'more. Put it on the fire, the eyeball.
So I'm like, whatever. Like, I feel like. I mean, maybe you guys are right, obviously. I mean, I'm not going to get, like, Theorist of the Year award by any means.
No, I don't know, but I have some people trying, like, you know, speculating if she's a bigger character, and she mm-hmm. would be the age, I guess, maybe to be.
But why would like Mama Lottie send her daughter to go to a potentially dangerous hostage situation?
Oh, I'm not saying it's Lottie's daughter. I'm saying
I said I saw that. We were saying the baby from the wilderness.
Oh. I think the baby dies. Well, I don't know. I think the baby dies and maybe they eat it. Because that's another thing to cannibalism is like, okay, like they're not. Does the definition of cannibalism include like that you have to kill the person or you're just eating a person? So. Because let's say this baby, you know, they can't sustain
cannibalism
it.
Cannibalism light.
No, actually, I mean, babies just eat breast milk for the first. I mean, you'd know this better than anybody. Jackie, how long do
they
usually...
I thought you meant Corey.
Oh, yeah. He's still breastfed. Just kidding.
A couple months in, like, you can work in solids and stuff, I guess.
To the point where you, like...
things and whatever.
How long could you stretch it so that the baby isn't taking away sustenance from others, you know?
Yeah, probably a good while, but you also need to be getting, like, sustenance yourself. Also, like, some people don't even produce... I mean, there could be tons of problems, too, that would happen, mm-hmm. like, you know, baby being, like, alert. Like, you know, I don't know. Some people just even can't breastfeed. But, like, yeah, let's just say, like, obviously that would be, like, all she could do.
Yeah, I guess, like, best, like, case scenario is what I'm thinking.
Right. No, yeah, for sure that would sustain the baby. The baby could live. Now, I'm trying to give a prediction. But, yeah, a good while. Yeah. Till they were rescued, I would think. Like getting up there close to, because by the time the baby's born, that's got to be almost halfway till when they were there, right? So it's only like a little bit more than a year. I'm sure they'll have some other things to give the baby too,
right?
Yeah, but they're like as they're saying, they're really low on meat rations, but we don't know if that's for long.
Yeah, but the baby, right? Meat rations aren't even
I mean, the last thing I wanted to talk about quickly, what did you think of Simone Kessel, the adult Lottie? I thought she was really good. I have never seen her before. Apparently, like in her IMDb, she was in a couple of episodes of Obi-Wan, apparently. But like, I don't know if any of you guys had seen her in anything before, mm-hmm. but what was your guys' opinion?
I hate her, so I don't really care, because I think that adult Lottie is a mean woman, so...
I like her. I would join the cult. So chic. She comes in, like, look how she looks. Just magnetism. Like, I don't know.
I can see that.
Of course she's a cult leader.
Yeah.
You can't give into it.
You think she's
it's funny because as soon as Natalie sees that it's Lottie, she's like, gets this look on her face, like, oh, okay, let's go walk up there. And like, why shouldn't I bash your head in, like, bury you in that hole? It's like, well, I have a message from Travis. I'm like, oh boy. So that's obviously the cliffhanger to leave. If we just at the end of their cabin life, just to note that. Nat and Travis were like by the fire talking about Javi, and Travis has this panic attack that Lottie calms him down from. There's this vision of the tree stump, which I don't know if that's near. See, there was something weird when Nat and Travis were exploring. Natalie sees the tree, right, that has moss on it, or like the snow's been moved. So it's like, what's happening with that? I don't know. And
Lottie
would
be interested in that, I wonder, because he's like, let's go, like, keep moving.
Yeah. Lottie says that, oh, Javi's alive, I know he is. And then Nat kind of, you know, says, hey, like, don't do that. Like, say less. Like, don't give him false hope. And Lottie's like, there's no such thing as false hope. I was like, yeah, only hope. I'm like, I was saying it as she was saying it. I might be joining. No.
You think, though, this Lottie actually giving the hope to Travis brings them closer together, and maybe that's part of the reason why her and Nat seem to have such a aggressive relationship when we first, besides the fact that she was kidnapped, but I mean,
yeah. is a lot of them have these relationships, like even Shauna and Natalie, they were a little contentious. Like everyone has these like little divisions. So it'll be interesting to see how the things play out in the wilderness. Also note that Callie finds Adam's license in the grill. She, you know, like she obviously was suspicious, knows what's going on. And then,
yeah, but how convenient is it that just his face didn't melt?
I mean, it is TV, so I mean, they have to get the story going.
Maybe because of the dye, the way the paper, the way the...
No, no, I'm from Jersey, I can tell you.
I've burned licenses before. It just, the whole thing goes. Any predictions? My one prediction, I think Javi's alive. He's alive, and then it's going to get everyone,
why would they drag it out this long? People are going to be
rallying behind her, believing in the visions and sacrifice and stuff.
But I just do wonder where he is. How he survived alone.
Like I was saying before, I think that at some point we have to meet other people, other groups, you know. And I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, in him running away from when they were all, you know, with the mushrooms and Shauna said run, I think he most likely found another group and within the next couple episodes.
But they've been hiding from them, like they were that close and they're not. It'd be interesting if we do find another group, definitely. What do you think? Maybe we see Elijah Wood next episode. Will we see Adult Van next
episode? I'm excited. Yeah, I think we'll see Elijah Wood next episode. Maybe Javi pulls like a Revenant and like, I don't know, finds warmth in like a dead bear carcass.
2 months. He's got to eat. He's got, I guess he's got just, well, like take a little of the bear.
I'm really excited for... to see Elijah Wood. I really love him, and I think that he has such a great look to be like Misty's new friend. I think that they really did a good job pairing those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some little notes I made. I saw that Larry in the hotel had a Z100 mug. I like that. It was a little cool. Misty has like the Caligula background on her phone. She has a recent call. It's all like Natalie and Thaisa, right? But then there's like Hello Birdie Pets, so that was, I like that, on the background of the computer where it's like for her citizen detective thing, it seems like there's an ad for a conspiracy theory book club. Mm-hmm. like you know, that kind of thing. And
I do think it's gonna be interesting that with all the success that Teen Thaisa has had, Jasmine Savoy Brown with the popularity of the two Scream movies, I mm-hmm. wonder how much more we see of like her character, you know, and if she gets a lot more screen time. I know she's already a major character, but I wonder if we see her get like a lot more screen time as a result of the success of the two Scream movies, which I think she's great in the show. So I wouldn't have any problem with that. So I think that would be really good. But I do wonder like how these younger actresses, what they do as a result of being in this show, their success, how it affects, you know, how they'll be screen time stuff in future episodes and seasons.
I mean, I think that this is a pretty popular show. I don't know if they would want to take like necessarily another project over it.
Well, I mean, they work other times of the year, so yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, for sure. This right will lead to, I think, people furthering their careers in different roles and stuff like that. But if you want to reach out to us, you can email us, youdontknowjackiepodcast@gmail.com. Also, Instagram, Facebook, You Don't Know Jackie, or for Corey, You Don't Want to Know Corey, hit him up on Instagram. Corey's also got some wrestling. He used to have a wrestling podcast long ago, had to stop, started back up. He's got Let's Talk AEW, Let's Talk About Everything Wrestling. You can check that out on all platforms if you're a wrestling fan. If you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon. You Don't Know Jackie on patreon.com. Give a shout out to our patrons: James L, Ron J, John M, Cassie M, Marie N, Anastasia M, Kelly O, Brenda G, Kate C, John J. Big thank you for anyone supporting us over there. And yeah, thanks to Jackie Rachel, Corey, our producer Jackie Brandon.
Just quickly wanted to also let people know that we have a new podcast as well coming out, the Sports Witness podcast, which we premiered our first episode last week. Hope people go out of their way to try to give that a chance.
And news to me. Wow. I just saw the background. I thought it was somebody else. Wow.
Would I promote someone else besides myself?
No. Multifaceted.
And just want to let everybody know, you know, season two of Single Drunk Female coming April 13th. So for all those who enjoyed season one, you know, we have a couple of interviews with people, members of the cast. And of course, you know, we have in our archives interview with Javi, actor who played Javi from last year. So, you know, be sure to check out all the old episodes and the other shows that we've done over the last year or so.
Anything you don't know, Jackie, you search on your podcast feed. We have You Don't Know Jackie View, we have Squid Game Podcast, Yellow Jackets Podcast. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Hope you enjoyed the Abby.
Bye. Bye.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
Alrighty, gang.
All right.